Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
You know, today we're going to talk about a culture, and over the next season we're going to talk about a number of cultures that we have as a church. And we'll do this just from time to time, and I think this one is really important as we almost go into this new season. We wonder, is this church and this facility here to serve me, or am I just here to serve it? The truth is, what you spend your time on and what you focus on is what you value. And what you value is who you will become. As we look into this next season, I want to spend the next few weeks really looking, and today just setting a foundation for what it is to have one of the most important kingdom cultures there was. In fact, when you look in Jesus' last moments, when you look about the declarations of who Jesus was and who Jesus would be in those prophecies, we see this common thread that Jesus came to set a brand new culture of servanthood. Jesus came to set a culture of servanthood. Servanthood is a kingdom culture. Servanthood is an influencer's culture. Servanthood is a me culture. That you have to make a decision that if I truly want to be like Jesus and be a follower of Jesus, do I live with a servanthood culture? So often we misunderstand what this means and we think it only applies in certain sectors of our life. But as you look at Jesus, every part of his life showed that he was a servant. What I love is that when our Prime Minister took and gave his first speech, one of his clear lines was there. He spoke to his team and said, "We are now here to serve a nation." Can I be clear? As a church, what we're called to do when you go to your workplace tomorrow is not just talk about who's leading. You're called to serve your workplace. You're called to serve your family. You're called to serve your friends. You're called to serve your school. You're called to serve those above you. You're called to serve those that you're leading. We are all called to harry this kingdom, influences, and personal culture of servanthood. Jesus said in Matthew 20, Jesus called them together and said, "You know the rulers of this world lord over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, among the church, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant." Very person that clapped and cheered and got excited about a Christian being in leadership, let me give you news. A Christian is in leadership wherever you go. And what does that mean? And why is this perfect timing? We're starting this today because wherever you go, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to servant leadership. Not just those elect, but those that know Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've called us to serve. I thank you that you called us to love and embrace and include and lift up others and help others. So I pray that your word would go with us today. I pray you would reveal things to us today that would help us to become more like Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Anyone here like massage? Anyone here like massage? Just show hands. Who's a fan of massage? My wife, I've probably told you before, my wife is a remedial massage therapist. She's learned all kinds of forms of massage. She actually went and studied for it. She didn't like do a YouTube clip and go, "I'm a masseuse." But she actually went and studied this for years to become a professional masseuse, part of what she does with a naturopathy. And it's on pause at the moment, young kids and ministry, but something she still does. And while you might go, "That's amazing, you're married to a masseuse," I actually don't like massage. I don't like massage at all. I find it weird that someone would want to probe and push and hurt you. You know, and for me, it's not relaxing. I feel like I'm a human in a human car wash where there's these, you know, pushing from every little angle. It doesn't help that when my honeymoon, I had a really bad massage in Thailand, and I don't have time to go into that today. But enough said, it just didn't go to plan. And whenever I have a massage, things do seem to go wrong. And it hasn't helped because of this original one. And then another time I was having a massage, and it was again another time in Thailand. And Shans loves going to Asia and getting incredible massages. Like, you know, if you're from any, like Shans just thinks it's the best place, the best masseuses are all throughout Thailand and Indonesia and Malaysia. And she says, "Let's get a massage together." And this one time I had a Thai massage where they kind of twist your body in all different contortions, except I got uncomfortable and I tried to adjust my body and I fell out of the section I was in my underwear, into the corridor in front of the waiting room where everyone was. I was standing there, like, because he was contorting me. I was like, whoa, it's weird. And I fell out, and I'm standing there in my undies saying, hello to everyone. And then this other time, Sean said, okay, I know you don't like massage, we'll do something different. We're going to get what's called a hot stone massage. And some people already going, oh, I love that. Why don't you? And she said, you don't have to be prodded and probed. You just lay down on your belly and your back facing up, and they'll come and put hot stones on your back. I'm pretty sure in some of the world wars this was torture, but now today it's a luxury. And so you lay there, and they get these boiling hot stones, and they put it on your body, and it's meant to be relaxing. Except if you know me, I have nervous twitches, right? So my body doesn't just lay there. So it's silence, and there's this beautiful music playing, and you can hear waterfalls, and there's silence, and Sean's just quietly breathing. But in my cubicle, all you hear is the sound of stones dropping off my back onto the wooden floor, because as I'm laying there, my body's kind of just moving. And the whole way through, I'm like, I'm sorry. And I pick up the stone and put it back, and that knocks off another, I'm sorry. And there's all these stones hitting the floor. It wasn't relaxing. Sean's like, would you lay still? And I'm like, I can't help it. This is the worst. So finally it finishes. But before it does, they come in and they don't massage your body, they massage your feet. And so they get oil, and now they push their knuckles into the soles of your feet as hard as they can, and you pay them for this. And I've got incredibly flat feet, and all my life I've had very sore feet because of this. And you know, so they're pushing into my feet, and they're rubbing oil on my feet. And finally, enough is enough. And I say, sorry, thank you, well done. I love it. And I didn't. And I got out, and I stepped out of the room, and there's this, like, it's, you know, all this decking, and then these decking stairs. And I step out of the room with my feet covered in oil onto this decking, and I literally stepped down and said, thank you, wow, and went literally like a cartoon, up in the air, forwards, and on my back, down on top of the steps. Massage and me just don't seem to work. I don't want someone touching my back, and I certainly don't want someone touching my feet. Jesus, however, was really into feet. Jesus had no problem with touching feet. And I want to go into today and just simply break down this passage of scripture where a lot of us will be very familiar with. Today, I'm not going to get into everything in serving. We're going to continue that next week. Pastor Alice is going to continue this message. But today, I want to give you a picture of what Jesus was really doing and just break down the passage in John chapter 13. So much more than we realize as Jesus goes to wash the disciples' feet. Are you doing okay today? So it says in John 13, we're really going to hang in John 13. Where are we hanging? In John 13. It says, it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having, say it with me, loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. John Pitt shows this really cool picture that Jesus right here, who has been with all of his followers, now in his last moments, in his last 24 hours, comes around the Lord's Supper, comes around the Passover, and it's there he gets rid of everyone else and he just spends time with those he loves. I say, this starts with those you love. If you truly want to be a servant, those you love aren't there to serve you, you're there to serve them. And it goes in passages from calling them his followers or his disciples or his brothers, and it says they were his own. There's a beautiful picture of intimacy right here in this upper room. And it's here that Jesus has now finished his public ministry. You see, everything he did before was for everyone out there, but it's in these last moments he chooses just to allow a select group of people to be there with him. Before, he modeled the kingdom of God to everyone that followed him. But right here, he is going to show the kingdom of God to those that would model it to everyone from here on. Jesus is saying to his intimate followers, I'm going to show you what serving is really like so that you can do it for others. Let's be clear. Jesus serves you, but Jesus expects you to model serving to others. So it goes on. We'll skip across to verse 20 because it shows a summary of what he's doing. He says, very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one that sent me. What is he saying? He's saying, right, you are now my representatives. Today, we clap and cheer a prime minister that is our representative. More importantly, the church needs to remember that we are representatives of Jesus Christ and the Father. And he says, remember now, everything I'm showing you, everything is not just for elected officials or those that stand on a platform. Anyone that calls upon my name and follows me is my representative. I have elected you. I have sent you into a position of serving others. And he says, if you want to go high, you need to go low. If you want to go high, you need to go, say it with me, low. But the disciples aren't listening, because the disciples want to go high. The disciples want their opportunity. The disciples want to tell other people how to serve. The disciples want to tell other people how to lead. The disciples want to be the teachers and those that are in positions of authority. And it says here in the book of Luke, where it parallels the same story, in Luke 22, and we'll put it on the screen, it says, a dispute arose among them as to which was to be considered the greatest. Jesus is saying, to go high, you need to go. But the disciples are just discussing how they can go high. They saw politics as the problem, so they thought maybe we need a politician. And they saw maybe popularity as the answer, so they thought maybe I need to become a celebrity. And they saw Rome as their oppressors, so they saw themselves, maybe I need to become a warrior. But Jesus saw sin as their barrier, so he came as a servant. You see, while everyone else said, I need to become great, and I need to become high, and I need to become known, and I need to become the leader, Jesus said, in order to be the leader, you first need to become the servant. If you want to go high, you need to go. Jesus said, the kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and those who rules like the one, and the one who rules like the one who, say it with me, serves. Jesus isn't confused who he is. Maybe he got it wrong. Maybe too much time serving, Jesus forgot who he was. No, he didn't. It says here in verse 3 of John 13, where are we reading from? John 13, verse 3, and we'll go on 4 to 5. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and he was returning to God. Jesus is most aware right here of his greatness. Jesus is aware he is God. He came from God, and he is returning to God. Is Jesus confused about who he is? No. Has Jesus come from on high? Yes. Is Jesus going back high? Yes. Is he confused? Not at all. He's most aware of his greatness. So it goes on in verse 4, because when you are high, you need to go. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He left the banquet table. He stripped off his rabbi clothes. He put around him and wrapped himself in a towel. He took water and he began to wash their feet. See, in those days, having a bowl of water and a towel was not unusual, because, of course, we know that they wouldn't have the nice roads we have today, but it would all be dusty and dirty and muddy and just well-rotten paths of life. And the disciples would walk like everyone else would walk, in sandals, so their feet would get incredibly dirty and dusty. So most homes would have a bowl of water and a towel. However, most homes didn't have a servant to wash your feet. Most people would have to wash their own feet. And fair enough. Who would want someone else to wash your feet? It's my feet. It's my journey. I will wash my own feet. There were, however, some families that could afford a servant, but understand that this would never be a Jewish servant. This would always be a Gentile servant, because the job of washing someone's feet in those days, having walked the roads of life and having the most disgusting things get on the most gross part of any person's body, even the servants of servants wouldn't do this. This was the least of the least would ever have this job. See, Jesus was not required. expected to, and everyone was totally uncomfortable with Jesus washing their feet. The truth is, nowhere in history had any conqueror, leader, ruler, savior ever gone and done such a humiliating act of washing their followers' feet. They'd always led from on high, but no one had been willing to go so low. This is something that everyone in that room thought was beneath him, but it was not beneath him. In fact, it was less than something he'd already done, and it was a foreshadow of what he was about to do. You see, Jesus had already left the banquet table of his Father, and he had stripped off all of divinity, and he had enclosed and wrapped himself with our humanity so that he would ultimately wash our souls with his precious blood. This was not something that Jesus hadn't already done and wasn't already about to do, but it was very much a picture of Jesus's entire mission, that if he was to be, in Philippians, the name above all names, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, if he was to go on high, he had to be willing to go low. So Philippians tells us to get to that place, and we'll put it on the screen. It says in Philippians 2, who being Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself, say it with me, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, Jesus was modeling that if you want to be high, you need to go. If you want your kids to respect you, you need to go. If you need your boss to notice you and appreciate you, you need to go. If you want to have influence in your community, you need to go. If you want someone to recognize the gifts on your life, you need to go. If you want to be used by God, you need to go. If you want people in your workplace to find Jesus, you need to go. If you want people to see light in your life, you need to go. If you want to come, we're struggling with this today, we're quiet. You cannot have kingdom without having this. You can be saved and not be a servant, but you can't be like Jesus and not be a servant. To show Jesus, you need to go. So he comes to Simon Peter and said to him, because Simon Peter is like us. The best picture of us in the Gospels, especially when John's writing, loves to write about Peter, came to him and he's like us. And he said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Now, Peter can't help but speak up. And maybe just the keys can come, the team can stay for a moment. So Peter protests and goes, no, Jesus, you're above this. You're above this. What is Peter really saying? Jesus, we're above this. We're above this. Because Jesus is not just saying this is what I'm doing for you. He's saying, well, this is what you're going to do for others. He's saying, no, you're above this. Like some of us might think, no, serving in a church, that's beneath me. Talking to kids, that's beneath me. Loving that person that's unlovable, that's beneath me. And Peter goes, no, you cannot do this. But like a mum gets a wipe and wipes the dirty face of the child, even though the kid's protesting, the mother does it in love anyway. Jesus, even though Peter's protesting in love, gets his feet and begins to wash it anyway. No, says Peter. He goes, no, in verse 8, he goes, no. You shall never wash my feet. You've got it wrong. You're an elected official. You're a leader. You're God. You're the one. You're the highest. You're Messiah. Surely you, surely me, surely we're above this. You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus says this, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Is he talking just about feet? No, he's talking about what he's going to do at the cross. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. You see, Jesus is saying this. Your salvation would never come from your position, your title, your goodness, your church attendance, your good deeds, whether you're the top or whether you're the bottom, whether you have any position or whether you have no position. Regardless of any of that, salvation comes through my washing alone. Because the truth for Jesus washing dirty feet would never compare to the cost of washing dirty souls. That this may cause him to get on his knees, but what would come next would come at much more pain. And he said, if you can't have this, you can never have that. The truth is, for Jesus, the humility of wrapping a towel around him was nothing compared to the humility of being wrapped in baby's cloths in a manger. Having come from heaven, he'd already been wrapped before in something much more humiliating. He was about to be wrapped in our sin. He's about to be stripped of all cloths and towels and coverings in the days to come. But this is the very purpose and mission of God, that greater love have no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That this is what it is to influence community. This is what it is to be light in your workplace. This is what it is to show the love and grace of God to your children. This is what it is to show respect to your parents. This is what it is to be excellent in our workplace. This is what it is to make a difference in our world. This is how we become a city on a hill. Not that we would be known by anything but our serving and our love and our grace and our kindness. That God himself said you could never earn and strive and make your way to me. So instead, I would strip off all that I have and I would take on your humanity and I would come and take your place on the cross. That no matter what you've done wrong or where you've got it right or no matter how many times you've messed it up, he said it was never about your position or your title, but I would come and God would humble himself and take your place and give his life for you. That all you would have to let him do is wash you clean. Today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, he knows you. Today, if you're away from God, he loves you. And it was never about how often you walk through these doors. It was never about your successes or your failures. It was never about whether you deserved it. It was always about the goodness of a loving Savior who was high and got low to come for me and to come for you. That all you can do, like Peter, is his months are protesting and saying, I'm not worthy. There comes a point where you just have to receive and let him wash you clean. If you're here today, and I want to take a moment just now, we'll continue preaching in a second, but I feel it's here. If you don't know Jesus, he knows you. If you don't know Jesus, he loves you. If you've been away from God, it's okay. He came here today. In the same way, he wanted to get you away from the rest of the crowd to have an intimate moment with you to say, hey, you're mine. Us. He wants you to know he loves you. He knows everything about you. And today can be a fresh start, a new beginning for you, your soul, and your life. Would you bow your head right across this place? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I believe there's people here today that don't know Jesus. If you're away from him, if you've never prayed a prayer like this, or maybe you once knew God and you've done your life on your own, maybe you knew religion, you've prayed a heap of prayers and been in a lot of services, but you never knew a God that loved you in that relational way, that would give his life for you. Any of you that know that today, would you pray that prayer with me? Pray this with us. We'll pray it all together, but especially you, if you're away from Jesus or coming back to him, say these words. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. Thank you for serving me when I didn't deserve it. So wash me clean. Give me a new start and a new beginning. Become Lord of my life and lead me from this day forward. I receive you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just wave your heads bow for a moment longer. If that's you and you prayed that prayer, I know there's people right here. And you said, I'm coming back to God, or I'm giving my life to God for the first time. Maybe you've never known the kind of loving, kind God I talked about today. If that's you, and I count to three, would you just simply lift your hand so I can pray for you wherever you are? Here we go. If that's you, lift your hand right now and you prayed that prayer. 1, 2, 3. Where are you today? If that's you, I want to pray for you. I just want to see where you are. Right where you sit, I won't embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. Where are you? Let me pray. Come on. I want to give you a Bible. Talk to you, but follow Jesus there. He loves you. That's the best decision you could ever make. New start, new beginning for you. Is there anyone else say that's me? God loves you. He loves you. Awesome. Someone else over here. He loves you so much. Today's your day, my friend. A new start. Wash clean. New beginning. Who else is there? Say that's me. Put the pride away. Humble yourself and recognize that he already humbled himself for you. Who else is there? Just lift your hand. 1, 2, 3. I just feel there's someone else. kind of battle going on the inside. Maybe that's you. Lift your hand right now if you prayed that prayer. Come on, come on, come on. Father, for everyone that lifted their hand today, never the same. Let your love and grace go to them in Jesus' name. We all prayed and everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God praise for these people. So good, so good. Hey, at the end of the service, I'd love to meet you, give you a Bible, just talk through the next steps. Maybe you made this decision before and maybe you're saying, God, today's a new beginning. Still come and see us because we love to connect you with people that can walk this journey with you. Best decision you could ever make. Let's give God praise this morning. Come on, so good. So, let's continue. Come on, people just got saved. Let's really give God praise. I just reckon. I know it's weird, we're going off track for a moment, but we can. I felt in worship before God say, specifically for this service, this 9 a.m. service, that praise is going to bring a breakthrough of the supernatural in this service. God's doing different things in every service, every campus. Same God, same things, but in different ways, sorry. Praise is going to bring a breakthrough to this service. I just, even if it doesn't make sense to you, I'm prophesying into the atmosphere of this church. Praise is going to bring a breakthrough to this service that's going to result in a breakthrough in your life, that's going to see a breakthrough in your family and see a breakthrough in your world. So one more time, let's give God praise. Like the breakthrough's on the way. All right, let's go. So Jesus says, you can't have me without me serving you. So Peter says, right, then wash my head, wash my toes, wash my ankles, wash my legs, wash my neck, wash me, I'll have it all. You can't have Jesus without all of him serving you. And your world can't have Jesus without you not completely serving them. And what's incredible here is that he doesn't just wash Peter who would betray him. He washes the feet of Jesus. He washes the feet of Judas. Because this is servanthood. When you do something for someone that will never, ever repay it. When you're willing to do something for someone that may never, ever know, who may never even appreciate it. The reality is when you've got a servant spirit, is that the less they know, and the less they can do for you, the greater the power in your serving. Here's the reality. Grace was never about what we deserved. And it was never about what they deserve. It's about that God loved the world so much that he sent, that he served. That today we live in this upside down world where everything is there to serve me. And because everything is there to serve me, I end up being a servant to everything. The truth is I'm a servant to my bills. I'm a servant to my boss. I'm a servant to my marriage. I'm a servant to my kids. I'm a servant to my life. And that's how many of us end up feeling, because we're feeling like everything is there to serve us and therefore we end up serving everything else. But that's not kingdom. If we first took the position that we are there to serve it, that we are there to make this church better, that you are there to make your family better, that you are there to make your workplace better, that if we realize that we are there to serve this world, this is kingdom, that the last will be first and the first will be last. For even the Son of Man came, put on the screen, not to be served, but to serve. But whoever would be great amongst you must first be your servant. Let's just look at this world for a moment. Power is not changing the world, and money is not changing the world, and fame is not changing the world, and celebrity is not changing the world. So why are we all chasing for more fame and more power and more celebrity and more moments and more experiences, when maybe if none of that's working, what if the church really was the church? And maybe if the church was really like Jesus and we flipped it all on its head and we decided that we would rather serve the world than be served by the world, that we would rather give to the world than take from the world. Maybe if we got that right, maybe instead of being first, we put everyone else first and the team can come join me. Maybe instead of everything serving me, we decided to serve it. Maybe when we come to church, we don't come to church going, what am I going to get today? But maybe, what am I going to give today? Can I tell, church doesn't grow by its seating capacity, it grows by its serving capacity. Church won't just be known by its songs, but church should be known by its serving. The power of God moves in serving. What if we all turned up and went, what am I doing to contribute today? What am I doing to help one of these today? What if we turn up to work different and said, I'm here to serve my boss, not my boss serve my paycheck? What if we all turned up tonight to our dinner table and kids, serve your parents? What if parents, you serve your kids? What if we flip this on its head? Because clearly everything else isn't working and the world hasn't been getting better, but he already gave us a pattern and a way in order to do this. I think sometimes we don't do this because we think we're going to lose our seat. If I serve, I lose my position as head of the home. If I serve, I'm no longer the boss. If I serve, I no longer have authority. But I love this. Jesus, while he left his seat, he knew where it was. Put it up on the screen, the next verse. It says this. It says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he said with me, return to his place. Ultimately, he would return one day to the right-hand side of the Father. Jesus never lost who he was in being willing to serve those that were following him. You see, I genuinely think the most secure people are the first to serve because they know who they are and they know where their seat is. And because they leave their seat doesn't mean they have to give up their seat. They're just willing, if they're going to be high, they're willing to get low. Getting on your knees is never a demotion. Loving and serving others is never a demotion. Today, we're going to break this down and talk about how to practically do this in the next weeks. But today, you have to understand, you won't lose being a mum or a dad when you serve your kids. And you won't, kids, you won't lose knowing everything when you go and serve your mum and dad. You know, we won't lose our power if we go serve our employees. And we won't lose opportunity if we go serve those that are leading us. We may gain nothing back for those that don't even see what we do for those in the community, but we're still called to do it anyway. This is what Jesus said in verse 16. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, or a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. What is he saying? He's saying, if I, the master, could do this, you don't do less than me, you do more than me. He's saying, if I am the ultimate servant and I would lay down my life, I'm not setting a lofty standard you can't reach. I'm saying, as the master, you have to go further and serve even greater than I ever have. And he goes on in verse 20, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one that sent me. See, he brings it around. He says, if you are going to represent me, he gets rid of all the crowd and he gets the ones he loves. And he gets them in a room like this and he says, hey, guys, girls, you want to represent me? Want to change your world? Don't just invite them to things. Don't just tell them about me. You show them me through your serving. That if you want to show light and if you want to make a difference, you show them. So he goes from modeling to telling to finally, in that same John chapter 13, to commanding. He says, a new commandment. Do you notice he's getting stronger? He's getting stronger. A new commandment. A new commandment I give to you. As I have loved you, so you, say with me. Come on, so you must. He's getting stronger. He's going from teaching to suggesting to modeling to commanding. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. All I've been entrusted with is there to serve others. Sometimes we wonder, why are people? How come people aren't responding to my invitations? Are you serving them first? Sometimes, how come people don't ask me about God? Do they see you serving them first? How come people aren't following me? Are they seeing you serve them first? And what I love about this is he brings us all together in John 13. He says this in verse 17. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. We're going to worship God. You'll be blessed. Everyone say blessed. He says, so now that you know what I expect, now you know my standard, now you know my kingdom culture, my influencers culture, your personal culture, now you know what I've taught you and what I've modeled you and what I've commanded of you. He says, if you do this, you will be. Come on, you will be. What is that word blessed? When you look in the Greek, that word means to happy, happy, joyful, and gratifying. We get this wrong because we think we'll be happy, joyful, and gratifying when everyone serves me. But we've all had that and it never leaves us happy, joyful, and gratified. But he says, when you flip it on its head and you serve others, you love others, you meet their needs, you do these acts of kindness, you go out of your way, you get down on your knees, you care for the least of these. When you do what I've shown you and taught you and modeled you and command you, you will be happy, you will be joyful, you will be gratified, and you will be blessed. Kingdom culture was never to take from you, it was always to give to you. But the way you give will come back into your life, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We're going to break this down in the next few weeks. We're going to talk more about the practical. But today, our church will never be known for anything except its serving. If it is to be known for Jesus, it must be known by its serving. Both in here and out there. Out there won't come in here until in here gets out there and begins to serve our world and begins to love our community and begins to help the least of these. And it's there that He returns you to your high place when you're willing to get low. And it's there that you'll find joy and happiness and blessing.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I'll tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, "I will take their place." So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did, and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.